Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Welcome to New Life Live. Steve is not in here today. This is Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for him. And I am blessed because I have Alice Benton to my right.
Hello,
Thank
gentlemen.
You, Dr. Benton.
Great
and
to be with
Chris
you.
Chris Williams on my left. Hi, Chris.
Hey, good to be here.
Good to be with you guys. I want to go through a couple things before we get to the calls, because there's some calls waiting for us. If you live in the San Francisco, San Jose area, we're going to have a night of teaching prizes. We're going to tape a live radio, not live, we're going to tape it live for airing later, a radio program that night. Jill Hubbard will be there with Steve, and Chris, well, you're going to be there too.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to
it.
I can't wait to get out and meet some of the listeners.
Oh, it is so much fun. These folks are great. And if you want to be on the one of the people asking a question that night, it's live. You'll be standing in a microphone to ask your question instead of on a phone. But come about 6 o'clock, between 6 and 6:45. We'll have one or two people there that are kind of acting as call screeners, helping get questions formulated, and then we'll select some of those, and you'll step forward at the mic and ask your question, and you guys will give the answers. But it starts at 7 o'clock. It's November the 10th, and it's a Friday night at Christ Community Church in Milpitas. I'm sorry for my ignorance on that, but you'll know where it is if you live up there. So you can call us at 800-NEW-LIFE for more information if you missed that.
I got to attend that event as a listener. I think it was for the 25th anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so much fun. It was also a little intimidating, but I went and asked a question.
Oh,
that's awesome.
My knees were knocking together. I was so nervous. But then I got to shake everybody's hand afterwards, and it was fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it's just fun to meet folks, and they're so encouraged and enthused by our program. You know, I love movies, and there's not a lot of movies that I get to go to sometimes. It comes in spurts. Sometimes there's nothing that appeals to me. But there's two things I want to point out. We were promoting a movie a couple of weeks ago. It was called The Heart of Man, and it was a one-night Fathom event. It was in September. I forget the exact date. But it was really well done. It's a dramatic telling of the story of the prodigal son. And it's interspersed with interviews of people with sex addiction histories. If you missed it, go to heartofman.com or movieheartofman.com, and they're going to be doing some church showings and arrange for group showings. So don't forget that. The other movie, though, this movie is called I Can Only Imagine, and it's the story of the lead singer of Mercy Me, Bart Millard. And it's about how he came to write that song and perform it. He had a really tough childhood. It's an incredible movie. We got to see a preview the other night. And Jill Hubbard was there with some of our staff. And I'm telling you, I can't speak highly enough about this movie.
Well, and I love these movies because they, in a really powerful way, are constantly retelling God's amazing redemption.
Well, and then we heard a story this morning in our devotions of how that movie crossed over from the Christian realm into the secular realm. And it started as a joke by some shock jocks who aired it because a caller kept calling and asking for that to be aired. And when they aired it, it became the most requested song on their station for months. And other stations around the country. So it's a fabulous movie, fabulous story. And at the end of the program, at the end of the movie, on the credits, people will be encouraged to call our number to get help for their situation if they had one similar. We'll be right back.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We are going to go straight to the phones. When I say we, that's Dr. Alice Benton and Chris Williams. And I'll just kind of play with the phones here while they're giving good advice. Let's see. Bear with me just a second. I had one picked out. Let's go to Sarah. She's on line 5. Sarah, how are you doing? How can we help you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question about borderline personality. I have a specific question, but my son is engaged, and we all moved into the family home, and after a year realized that there was an issue, and my son is now like, I can't handle this. So he's going to break up with her in the engagement. So my question is, how do I love her in her illness and protect myself and my son through the breakup? Because she does things that are, I'm not going to say they're violent, but they're malicious, and we can get caught in the middle of maybe a lawsuit, or it's extensive what happens, and we just didn't see it to this extent before.
And Sarah, you and your husband live with your son and his fiance, is that right?
I am single, and yes, we moved in with their family. And
you live with the fiance's family?
Yes.
So her parents, you, your son, and the fiance?
Yes.
Okay. And could you give us an example, maybe pick one of the clearest examples of the malicious behavior that you're talking about, something that, if I'm understanding correctly, the fiance has done?
Yeah. She'll take a situation and tell a certain group of people, wow, my boyfriend is really aggressive towards me. And that group of people don't speak with my son. And then my son will hear it and he'll say, what are you talking about? What aggressive thing are you talking about? And it won't even be something that happened. And the only reason why I can say so is because I'm also in the house. We are planning to move. And my fear is, with this personality, that I should be expecting something even more aggressive.
Has she had an official diagnosis from like a psychiatrist or a psychologist on borderline personality disorder?
I don't know how to. I've been calling different psychiatrists and trying to get her in somewhere.
Okay. So, So the only reason I ask is because we got to be careful of that. There's two things I hear a lot, and that is words as borderline and narcissism thrown around a lot. But these are actually very, very serious diagnoses that need to be diagnosed by a professional. But what we can definitively say here is that she is showing very dangerous, untrustworthy reactions to relational distress, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I think the most important thing is to create a plan to get safe. Obviously, moving out is job number one, but also you can't control her behavior, but you can control your reaction, what you do to keep yourself safe. And that's the most important thing. And so this sounds strange, but you may have to document. You may have to have just like a journal and write things down. If she doesn't live in truth, and her truth or her lies, I should say, are malicious and reactive and dangerous, then you need something in writing to kind of protect you, to say that, you know, you've documented this and that you can have other people verify. And that's just a way to protect yourself. But most importantly is distancing yourself and cutting off relationship. That's and quite honestly, you know, it's like, how do you love her? You don't participate in dangerous behavior.
And Sarah, what is your worst fear of what she'll do if you and your son move out and your son breaks up with her?
My worst fear is that she'll make an atrocious lie and pull us into court, or worse, charge my son with a crime. That's my worst fear, or harm herself.
Right. I wondered, especially if you would say the last one. So what I'm going to add to what Chris said is that what's most important, and really the only thing that's in your control, is being firm but loving with your decisions, and hopefully helping your son do the same. Because my concern would be that he might be drawn back into the relationship because of her threats, and you might also feel that pull to remain in a support to your son. But in dealing with these kind of situations where people threaten suicide or threaten self-harm if we do something they don't like, it keeps us trapped in that vicious cycle if we remain in the relationship or remain in the toxic situation in order to appease them. We actually did a video about this, a New Life video, about dealing with threats of suicide and threats of self-harm and how to stay firm but loving in our decisions, because you can get sucked in, understandably so.
Is that on tv.newlife.com?
It is, yes.
Okay, that'd be a good resource.
And you might want to consult with an attorney, too, to protect yourself and to get some ideas about how to proactively plan and be continue in that firm but loving way of doing what you know is right.
Does your son have the same concerns and fears that you have?
Oh, definitely. We've decided we have to go together, because to leave one would be a problem.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, I really encourage you to look at that segment on tv.newlife.com.
And what is that called?
That segment, do you remember what it was?
I don't, but if we just use the search about suicidal threats, I think you'll be able to find it. And part of it is it gives you ideas, and then it helps you to role play beforehand how to use the right words to stay strong in those overwhelming conversations.
Yeah.
Well, we're sorry, Sarah, that we lost you, but I hope that's helpful to you. I wanted to just remind folks that if you make a gift this month, we will send you a book in the Arterburn Wellness Series. It's a brand new series. It's one of the first books out in it, and it's called Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression. And Steve co-authored that with Dr. Brenda Hunter. So if depression is an issue in your realm of life, whether it's somebody you work with, maybe it's yourself, maybe you can understand a little bit more about yourself, or a family, friend, neighbor, this is a book that you will want to have. And you make any gift to New Life this month, we will send that book to you. But we really need your support. October is coming to a close, and it's the fourth quarter. If you are considering making a year-end gift, would you make it today? Could you possibly make that gift before December 31st? You know, you'd be amazed, you guys, how many people give on December 31st. It is just, it's fabulous. It helps us immensely. I love it. But I'd love it more if people gave on October 26th
yes.
and, you know, November the 5th and November the 12th. And I just, so if you can give, please make your gift today. And think about joining Club New Life. It's a wonderful way to support us month after month after month. Let's go take another call here. Let's, I had one picked out. Where'd she go? Let's talk to Anya, line 6. And Anya listens in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, WBYN.
Hello.
Hello. How can we help you?
Yes. I'm calling because I called you guys like 2 months ago asking for advice for a situation that I'm having with my husband's son. And you guys gave us some good advice, which my husband has been trying to follow through since then. Nothing has happened. My stepson continues making excuses on getting together with his father. But I want to share with you something that I forgot to tell you when I called. Like 3 months ago, my stepson called his father and asking for a favor to place an order for him. And his father placed an order for him. And now he's refusing to pay him back.
How old is your stepson?
He's 18 now.
And is he living with his mother?
He's living with his mother, yes.
Okay.
And every time that my husband called him to say hello and also to ask him what happened, we agree that you're going to pay me. He get very upset and very abusive, like he always does. And we don't know how to handle this situation because seems like his mother had taught him to get away with whatever he wants. So I always encourage my husband, I don't think that that's a good idea for him just to get away with this. Even though it's not a lot of money, but it's not about the money. It's the fact that he said to do a favor that he will pay back. And now he's not wanted to pay back. So my husband and I now, sometimes we argue about the situation. Like, for example, Christmas is coming, and my husband is planning to give him money. So I'm questioning my husband, what is that we teaching him with this situation? He's going to get away with one more thing, and then on top of that, he's going to get a gift on Christmas. So I don't know if I'm right. I don't know. My husband is like, but it's not the same situation. Christmas is another situation. So we don't know what to do now.
Yeah, this is a really frustrating situation because it sounds like your stepson is obviously taking advantage of you, taking advantage of your husband. But I'm going to suggest this, is that you and your husband made a wisdom donation. Your wisdom donation is you donated to growing in your wisdom about the behavior of your son. And so your return on investment is the wisdom to not donate to your son anymore. And so I agree with you on that, that giving him money is not the greatest choice. I would recommend, even though, like, if you give him a gift, he can go exchange it or whatever for money. But I do believe that a gift at Christmas is different than lending money. And so the gift is saying, hey, there's no strings attached to this one. This is just us loving you because it's Christmas and this is what we do and this is part of who we are. However, if the request ever comes back to, no matter how desperate the situation is, to lend money, the answer is no, we've already made our wisdom donation. The answer is no.
Okay, so you're saying that it's okay for him on Christmas to give him money?
No, I would actually recommend giving him an actual gift rather than money.
Okay, that's what I thought. But my husband said, well, but it's Christmas. It's not the same situation. I said, well, I think it is, but okay.
But I want to jump in with one more thing, Anya. I know that this is incredibly frustrating to you, and reasonably so. I mean, you guys are being taken advantage of. But I want you to still prioritize your relationship with your husband above the situation with your stepson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because your stepson's behavior is interfering with your marriage. And causing you frustration.
Somehow, yes. Because I see my husband, like, for instance, he's supposed to come today. But you know how many times he had told my husband, I'm coming, and we stopped doing our own stuff because he's coming, and then he doesn't even bother to call and say, I'm not coming, whatever it is. He doesn't even let her know.
Yeah, so his behavior, Anya, his behavior has taught you something.
Mm-hmm.
So do only expect what his behavior has taught you. Don't expect anything else. So go on with your life and live your life the way you want to.
Okay.
So don't expect him to follow through with his word or pay you back. And, you know, you've made your wisdom donation. Now go with your wisdom.
Okay.
I
will refer this to my husband because I've been telling almost the same thing. And he's like, no, it's not the same, but... Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Anya. We'll be right back right after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We just concluded a call with Anya, who was having a little trouble with the stepson and him not holding up to commitments and promises. And Alice, you've got a thought before we go on to another call.
I do. Three, to be exact, because I think Anya's situation applies to so many of us who are in combined families like this. And as Chris was pointing out, it can become toxic to our marriage when we're trying to parent the children of our spouse. So a couple of ideas I want to share, Anya, if you're still listening, and with just all of our listeners. There are some words we can use when we need to set a boundary boundary with an adult child who has not followed through, like the loan that Anya's family gave to him, and he hasn't paid it back. When he asks for other things, we can limit our resources as a way to leverage teaching him responsibility. So, Anya, if he were to come back and ask you, would you guys do this for me? Would you give me more money? Would you help me out with this? We can let our adult children know we're happy to do that for you once you repay the loan. These aren't fighting words, but they are boundary words, and it lets them know our limits and our willingness, but it gives the responsibility to the other person. I actually use this with my young children all the time. I'm happy to let you watch a movie once you've cleaned up your room. I am happy to play outside with you once you put your dishes in the sink. And it keeps the fight down, but sets the boundaries as well.
That's good.
So two other thoughts. I've actually read some of Dave Ramsey's work, and he encourages us not to make loans to family members because it so often ends up in a battle like this that becomes toxic to the relationship, that if we're going to give money to family members, it should be only a gift, exactly, right. And that protects the relationship. And then lastly, when we're with a partner who has children of their own, I think we need to give them some power in how we deal with our stepchildren. So I would invite Anya or other people in similar situations to go to our partner to say, how do you want me to handle it when I have an issue with your son? Do you want me to give advice? Do you want me to step in and assist and talk directly to my stepson? Or do you want me to handle it? Should we talk about it behind closed doors? And I think giving that power to the parent, the biological parent, can really help protect the marriage relationship, as Chris was talking about.
That's good stuff. And it reminds me that there are some things on tv.newlife.com for the blended family. I don't remember who did them with Steve, but I know Steve, maybe it was just Steve, but if you go on to tv.newlife.com and look up the blended family, if you haven't subscribed to it, go in there and get a monthly subscription. Check it out. See how it goes.
He has such wisdom to share about blended families.
Yeah, he really does. He firsthand experience, and he's done it really well. Okay, let's go and let's talk to Steve in Colorado Springs. I guess we won't talk to Steve. Let's see if we can talk just a moment there. Let's see if we can get Laura. Laura in Louisville, WFIA, you listen. Hello, Laura.
Hello. I've talked to you guys before. It's been about a year ago. And so you've helped me out so much, especially I love Steve Otterburn. I know he's not there, and I love you all too, but I love him.
We love him too.
He sent me some I sent him some books, and he sent me some books, and so I am I'm going to give you a very short version. I am a narcissistic magnet. Like, if you're a narcissistic person, I'm going to be attracted to you. Mm-hmm. So I'm 56 years old, and I spent 7 years on somebody that was so narcissistic. It was awful. So I don't want to do that again. So here's my question. I'm going to go on, like, the first date that I've allowed myself to go on in, like, 2 years. And I already kind of know a little bit, like, I know his faith isn't as big as mine is, but I know he believes in God. So I try to at least go with that. But my question is like, do you even try to go on a second date when you already know it's probably going to be a little bit of what you had before?
And by that, do you mean, Laura, that you see narcissistic tendencies already with this person?
Well, I mean, I'm more paranoid just the mere fact that I'm so excited to go out with this person that he probably is that way. Hmm. You know, so I mean, if I'm attracted to them, I'm automatically putting them out the door because you're probably that way. I mean, how am I ever going to get
back? Hey, Laura, describe to me the guy that you're attracted to.
Somebody that's just very active, that's, likes to do a lot of things. I love sports. I've always been in sports. My daughter's in sports. I mean, I love going to ball games, stuff like that. That they're, they're just very confident in everything that they do and say. I mean, like, when you just get around them, their aura is just, I don't know, they just seem solid.
So let me jump in really quickly. You're attracted to power.
Oh, Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, you're attracted to power at the places inside of you where you feel powerless.
I heard a light bulb go off.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So you're looking for their power to rescue your powerlessness. What I want you to do...
Oh, my gosh.
...is identify the areas in which you feel powerless inside of you. Powerless against... It's usually around shame, like things of worthlessness and not good enough, or life won't work out for me. So there's not a guy on planet Earth that's going to cure that for you. And the dangerous ones are the ones that pretend that they will.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Wow, I've never even thought about that. See, that's why I love you people.
Laura, hold on. We'll come back to you right after the break. There'll be a couple more thoughts, but just hold on, and we'll take another call or two as well.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelley's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 10th through the 12th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.newlife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip. And that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We were talking to Laura, and a couple of other thoughts, Laura. One is, if you date a guy, it's not a life commitment, and don't get too aggressive too fast or thinking it's him or nobody. Make sure your friends meet. You know, date more than one guy. Date several guys. And make sure your friends have some input and meet these folks if you have a second date or beyond where you think that this could be something you'd like to pursue.
And I really like that because when we have a bad picker, then we need other people to help us pick.
Yeah.
And when we go into it with the wrong motivation, which is what you're touching on, mm-hmm. Larry, I just read How to Get a Date Worth Keeping by Henry Cloud, mm-hmm. and it actually changed my mind about dating because I went into dating looking for a husband, and I got too serious too quickly, and I didn't date enough people. And that's exactly what he warns against, as you, Larry, are saying, that he actually encourages us to date for fun and to date to get to know a wide variety of people, and commitment is so far down the road.
That's why for Sherry Keffer, Henry and Steve challenged her one radio program years ago to date 20 people.
Yes.
And she married number 8.
But she didn't stop at 8.
No,
she dated all the way through the 20, didn't
she? That's right. But number 8 was the pick. It's just kind of a joke with Sherry. You know, how's number 8 doing? So, but she said he's now number 1.
Oh, I love it. He is number one. I met him, and he's a fantastic guy.
So just two additional pieces here that I would really encourage Laura and all of us that find that we have a pattern of unhealthy people we pick. We have to do our own self-exploration and healing to change our tendency to pick these people. We're picking them for a reason, as Chris was pointing out, and we can get the therapy and the healing help to change that reason to heal from it. And I'd also ask that Laura request her friends to give her feedback, make a proactive request, let them know what the dangers are, the red flags are, and say, talk to me about this. When you meet this guy, tell me what you're seeing too.
Good.
That's good.
Very good. Well, Laura, thank you for the call. Let's send, is that How to Find a Date Worth Keeping?
How to Get a Date Worth Keeping.
We'll send you that book. Before we go and talk to Amy in just a second here, I just want to remind folks, there's a workshop in January that we do every year, once a year. It's called Living Light. And if you've had trouble with losing weight, or if you run to food as your drug of choice for comfort, and it's just something that you don't know why, but you're always dealing with it, trying to diet, can't lose it, this is the workshop for you. It's actually a fun workshop because we do some exercises together. You're going to learn from Michelle Spadafora about nutrition. Steve's going to tell his story and his experience with losing weight because he lost a lot of weight earlier in his life.
I had a person share with me who went to that workshop, and she had this profound thing that she shared. She goes, I just didn't develop a plan to lose physical weight. I lost weight of burden off of my soul.
I love that.
Emotional weight.
Yeah. And she says, my soul got lighter and freer, not just my body.
And if you don't like exercise, if you feel fatigued and unmotivated, this is the workshop for you. Yeah. It will energize you and it'll light a fire under you to
and
make changes.
If you are of the size that you just don't want to do exercise, they'll have you sit in a chair and just do some motions. So don't be fearful of it. Call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. We also have Every Man's Battle November 3rd, Restore Workshop for Women November the 10th. Give us a call on those. But let's go talk to another caller. Let's talk to Amy in Atlanta, Georgia. She listens on the internet. Hello, Amy.
Hello.
Are
you able to hear me?
We can hear you barely, but so speak up.
Okay, hello.
There you go.
Oh, much better.
How can we help you?
Yes, I was actually calling for some information on just letting my spouse know about a extramarital affair.
Letting your ex, you said, know?
No, my spouse.
Oh, your spouse. Okay. So you had an affair and you are trying to figure how to tell him?
Yes.
Boy, Amy, we so admire that you're calling to ask this question. What a humble request to make to get help with this. And I think you're on the right track because there are better ways of disclosing what has been going on and really trying to take care of your husband in the disclosure. And let me ask, what is your hope, your goal of what will come from telling your husband?
Basically, for me, just full disclosure. Just kind of like the weight of the lies.
You want to restore relationship and stay married.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear that you said the weight of the lies is that you carrying around this secret is just wreaking havoc in your heart and your soul.
It is.
Yeah.
How old or how long ago was the relationship?
A year ago.
And how long did it last?
It's someone that I've known since I was like 12, so just...
Was it a one-night stand?
Very briefly. I would say three, four months at the most.
Okay. And do you and your husband have children?
Yes.
And I would really counsel you to get in with a therapist to set up how to disclose this, because there are different aspects of it that you may need to talk about with your husband, and the way you do it can be more harmful, more toxic, or it can be more healing, depending. So that, for instance, if you charge in justifying or defending yourself and, you know, all the things your husband did wrong that might have pushed you to have the affair. That could be a very damaging way to tell him. But there are healing words to use in this conversation by being humble, taking responsibility, and preparing yourself for his anger towards you and for however he might react towards you, especially because you have children. Can you tell me, what is your worst fear of how he might react finding out that you had an affair?
Basically, I just don't want to hurt him.
Well, so, that will be unavoidable, but it's just minimizing it, I would say. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think it's doing it, as Alice was saying, in a way that is done best, where, you know, truth does come out. And what I would add to that is that support is given. He's going to need support. You're going to need support. And so if you get into a therapist who is known as a CSAT, that's a certified sexual addiction therapist, or an ASET therapist, A-S-E-T, these are people who have been specially trained in the disclosure process. And so they can help provide the support, the format, and then the actual place to have that occur, as well as facilitate support outside of the disclosure and ultimately a healing process.
Amy, are you getting help already, professional help?
Yes.
What? What kind of help? What are you doing?
Counseling and individual counseling.
Okay. Uh-huh. And are you working on this in particular with your counselor?
Yes.
Okay. And have you asked for the counselor's assistance in setting up this conversation?
No.
Okay. Why haven't you asked for that yet?
Still, you know, the fear.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And your individual therapist may not be the best person to guide you. There'd be like a third-party couples therapist that could help you with this as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if your individual therapist is competent in this area, I would definitely go have this conversation with your therapist, with your counselor, and talk about, you know, how do we make this happen?
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to prepare for a couple of different factors in the conversation, but bring this to the counselor to get help rehearsing and figuring out how to do this the best way. One is taking full responsibility for your actions, because your husband is imperfect, and there may have been things he did or didn't do that influenced your decision, but that won't be helpful to talk about at this point. That would be something to discuss down the road. So taking full responsibility for your actions and your decision, and letting him know what you already been doing to heal, to get accountability, and to change your behavior and protect your marriage from this occurring again. So things like sharing all of your passwords with him, access to your phone, to your email, to your Facebook, and maybe even deciding you shouldn't be on Facebook for a while if that was part of what led to accessing this person you had the affair with. So giving your husband solid proof of the change, giving him access to your therapist. You can call my therapist. You can ask what we've been working on. You can come in for a counseling session with her. That will help begin to rebuild the trust little by little. And when we come back, I think we'll have just a few more things to add, Amy.
Okay.
Okay, well, hold the line, and we'll be back with you. If you're listening and you have not made a gift yet this year, it's the fourth quarter. We could use your financial support, and we'd deeply appreciate it if you would make a gift to New Life. A lot of December givers give only in December. We're looking for some of you who do that, maybe to give your gift right now. October's coming to a close. We could really use your help, and we want to keep doing what we're doing and doing it well. Be right back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care,
as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking with Amy, and I just want to say, Sean, hold the line. We'll get with you in just a minute. But a couple more thoughts from Alice.
Amy, just to close up, I want you to be prepared for his anger and to be ready to accept it and to know that he may need to sit with that and that the hurt, which will probably come out in anger for quite some time. So I also want to encourage you to ask for his forgiveness, but be ready that he is not prepared to forgive you, as he may not know anything about this yet. And ask him what he needs from you. And that might be space. It might even be a period of separation. It might be more proof of the changes that you're trying to make. A great book for this is Torn Asunder by Dave Carter, and it gives some very concrete steps of how to rebuild trust with your spouse.
Okay. Amy, thank you for calling. The last thing I would just add to that is this. Time doesn't heal all these wounds, but it's going to take time for the wounds to heal.
Yes.
Going through the process you're going through.
That's good.
So we will be praying for you, Amy. Thank you for calling. Okay, let's go and talk to our final call for today. We're going to talk to Sean, Oklahoma City, listens on the internet. Hello, Sean.
Hello.
Hey, how are you doing? How can we help you?
My husband abandoned me and my two daughters.
I'm sorry.
He retired from the military, and he just said he wasn't happy, and he hasn't been happy for years. He went to EMB after his first deployment, which was like in 2008, and he had like three relapses since then, and I still, you know, stayed with him and tried to encourage him to go back, but he never got counseling or anything, and just he told me he just didn't feel no connection with me. And now that he's retired, there's no reason for him to stay, and he left. Yeah. And I was just wanting to know, after 24 years of marriage, he's only been gone 3 months, if it would just be wise to go ahead and file for a divorce, even though he's financially supporting me and paying my mortgage and my girls.
Well, Sean, first off, I am so sorry that you and your family are going through this. This is brutally difficult. And I do want to say something for our listeners out there about Every Man's Battle, is that it is an amazing weekend. And you are going to get the new, anyone who attends it is going to get the tools that they need. But those tools have got to be put into practice day in and day out over a very long period of time. And otherwise, for many, if not most, relapse is inevitable. And with this said, speaking to just some thoughts that I have about the marriage is that I really think right now from hearing from you is that I would put the divorce in his hands right now. I would encourage you to circle the wagons with you and the kids and be loving, be supportive, you know, letting him go. But I would also stay in prayer. I would also stay in a supporting community of people who can talk with you and walk with you through this. But I think right now, and we may have some differing opinions on this, but I think, you know, he's avoiding responsibility and avoiding decision. And I think by not letting him, quote unquote, off the hook by divorcing him, it's forcing him to make that decision for himself. He needs to make some responsible decisions here.
Was he in combat?
Yeah, he was deployed 4 times.
Four times? All to combat zones?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So when you said...
He had his first affair after his first deployment. He did something similar to this. He just abandoned the family and disappeared, and I found out he was having an affair and was living with the person.
Oh, man.
She was a stranger.
Yeah, yeah. When you said that you didn't feel connection with him, he doesn't feel connection with anybody. It sounds, I'm glad you asked that question,
right,
Larry, because he is suffering, it sounds like, from PTSD.
Yeah, he has PTSD. He does.
Has he sought help for that through a counseling?
Off and on.
Well, yeah, he's
a veteran. It's documented. He takes medication for it, but I don't know if he takes it consistently.
Well,
I asked him since he's been gone if he's happy now. He says no. But he says that there's no connection with me, and that he feels like he made the right decision.
And Sean, why do you hesitate on the divorce? What has held you back from making that step?
He's supporting. I have a mortgage, and he's paying it with his retirement and his disability. It's supporting
me. And you're afraid
left July.
Are you afraid if you divorce him that the financial support will end?
Yeah, it's going to change.
Right. I'd advise something slightly different than what Chris did, although he makes a good point and it's certainly worth considering. But I would suggest you consult with an attorney about a legal separation, because there may be some power to actually continue and maintain this financial responsibility that he is providing for you. My concern is he's been so irresponsible in other areas that I wonder if the financial support will continue or not. And hearing you have two young girls, I think you need to get informed about what your financial rights are and what he's obligated to do so that you protect what he's doing and you make sure that it continues. So at least a conversation with an attorney would give you the knowledge of what you could look forward to, what he would be obligated to do for you. Would you consider doing that?
I did it. Sorry, I did it already. And the lawyer advised me the same way he did. Just don't do nothing. Let him file for divorce because he is supporting me. He said I would get less money if I did. He said that one thing with my husband's PTSD, he also has traumatic brain injury, so he don't pay any bills or take care of any finances. He's like getting an allowance. And I'm maintaining the family and taking care of everything.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a pretty severe.
It depends on me for everything.
And I would, to go with what Alice was saying, I would continue to seek your legal rights here. I think the legal separation is a great idea, but you may be looking at some bigger issues, and I do believe that taking action on the legal side to protect you and your family financially is really important.
I'm so sorry, Sean, that we don't have more time, because we would love to discuss this a little further, but I think you got some good counsel from Chris and from Alice, and we will pray for you, because you're in a tough spot, and we'll pray for your husband. With all he's been through, that's been tough. Hey, Chris, how about closing us out with a passage from Scripture?
Yeah, you know, there is a lot of fear going around in our culture today. There's a political divide here in America. There is tragedy happening all over the place. There is broken relationships. We are dealing with a lot of fear. And when fear makes decisions, it makes terrible decisions, especially relationally. God tells us in 1 John that perfect love casts out fear. And I want us to, in the midst of fear, move into love, move into the love of God, move into living in and out of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul and strength. Learn love, learn to be patient and kind, and learn to get rid of all the things that aren't love. And watch the fear dissipate. I want to encourage you with that today.
I love that. Love is active. It's not just a feeling. It's doing something. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.